Good morning to each of you. Greetings in the name of Jesus today. Thank you, Chad, for those thoughts about being docile and meek, and that's something that I failed in this morning trying to get out the door for church, and wasn't very docile. I had to go back and talk to my wife before I got up front here, because I was like, I'm not preaching to the Bride of Christ, and said some sharp words and misunderstandings and things stacked up against us this morning. So yeah, pray for your pastor as he learns to be meek. We have some force and power, but it's not the wisest sometimes for us to use that, but to learn to control that. I need to grow in that. Well, for a message this morning, you can turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. I'd like to look at three verses here, verses 14, 15, and 16. So I thought about, it's been, two or three weeks ago that Brother Darvin was here with us, and I really appreciated his sermons to us, and I enjoyed visiting with him and talking with him, and he was very kind with me, but also very straightforward and spoke the truth into my life. And that's been a big help for me, a big encouragement in my life. And so that's my testimony of that week of the practical teaching that I received. It was a help to me as a husband and as a dad. One of the things that kept coming out in his sermons as he preached was about praying and the thought of a prayer. He never actually spoke on that specifically, but it was definitely a thread that kept showing itself throughout that week. And that's one of the areas of my life that I recognize that I have sort of just fallen into a rut, into a groove. And it's all right to have habits, but sometimes you need to be stirred out just a little bit, and things need to increase. It needs to be more life flowing into your prayer life. And I wondered, as I thought about that, what could I do to increase my desire to pray more and to make my prayers more alive, more real? How can I catch the spirit of prayer? And I suppose there's various ways to motivate us, to help us in praying. But I think one important way is if we're able to catch glimpses of Jesus, our great high priest, who he is, and what he will do, that will help us. That will help me to increase in my faithfulness in praying to him. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Prior to these verses, the Hebrew writer was talking about us laboring to enter into the rest and the possibility of us falling because of unbelief in verse 11. In verse 13, all of us today are created creatures. We have a creator, and he knows every single thing about us. Everything is open unto his eyes. Our thoughts, our words, our actions, everything. There's nothing hidden from this God, this creator who has made us. All things are open and all things are naked before him. In verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Familiar verses, but things that become familiar to us can actually become sort of cursed because we don't get what it says and what it means, and we can just go right over top of it. These are precious verses for us if you are a child of God. The disciples, when they were with Jesus, the only thing they'd ever asked Jesus to teach them to do was to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And I wondered as an adult why I've never really asked that question. Have you ever asked that question? Do you know how to pray? Do you need Jesus to teach you how to pray? It must have been something significant about Jesus and his prayer life that was different from the way the disciples prayed. And it was startling to them. I wish I could have been there. We have clues in our Bibles. Read through the Gospels. I've chosen not to do that this morning, but find all the places where Jesus prayed, how he prayed, and you can learn a lot of things. Well, focusing on these verses, I have four simple points this morning for us. The title of the message is Our Great High Priest. I just want to rivet in four simple truths into our minds to help us to increase and to grow in our prayer to our great high priest. Number one, Jesus is. Muhammad was. Buddha was. Karl Marx was. Joseph Smith was. They all died. Think of any great man throughout history. They were, but they are not. They passed on. Jesus is. Jesus was. Jesus is. Jesus is to come. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is our great high priest, Jesus. He is. He is. Today, right now, he is. He's present. He's alive. Came across a quote from someone who was contemplating who Jesus is. And I've been thinking about this for the last number of weeks. And it's a really long quote. And I don't know if preachers should give long quotes across the pulpit or not, but I'm going to this morning. It's things that we all know, but I want for us just to push aside the distracting thoughts and the cares and the worries and the fears and whatever's in your mind. I just want you to contemplate this morning who Jesus is. And I'm going to quote now. He came from the bosom of the Father to the bosom of a woman. He put on humanity that we might put on divinity. He became a man so that we might become the sons of God. He was born contrary to the laws of nature. He lived in poverty, was raised in obscurity, only once crossed the border of the land of his childhood. He had no wealth or influence, no training, no formal education. His relatives were inconspicuous and uninfluential. In infancy, he startled a king. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked upon the billows and he hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicines. and he made no charge for his services. He never wrote a book. Yet all the libraries in the world could not contain the books that could be written about him. He never wrote a song. Yet he furnished the theme, the themes of more songs than all the songwriters combined. He never founded a college. Yet all the schools together cannot boast of as many students as he has. He's never practiced psychiatry. And yet he's healed more broken hearts than doctors have healed broken bodies. He never marshaled an army, drafted a soldier, or fired a gun. Yet no leader has ever made more volunteers who have, under his orders, surrendered without a shot being fired. He is the star of astronomy, the rock of geology. He's the lion. He's the lamb. He's the harmonizer of all discords and the healer of all diseases. Great men have come and gone, yet he lives on. Herod could not kill him. Satan could not seduce him. Death could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him. He laid aside his heavenly robe for a peasant's gown. He was rich, but for our sakes he became poor. How poor? Ask Mary. Ask the wise men. He slept in another's manger. He crossed the lake in another's boat. He rode on another man's donkey. He was buried in another man's tomb. He is the chief among 10,000. And he is altogether lovely. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the end of the quote. This is who Jesus is. This is our great high priest. Do you recognize him as such? Do you pray to him as such? The high priest in the Old Testament, when you needed him the most, he was behind the veil, offering a sacrifice for his own sins and then representing the people to God. That's not our high priest. He has not entered into some earthly tabernacle behind some earthly veil. Where is he? He's passed into the heavens. Yes, we can't see him this morning, but there he is, alive, and he's representing us, interceding for us, pleading our cause to the Father, for you, for me. And so this morning, if you are a child of God this morning, your prayers are very certain to be heard. And that's why we pray, do we? That's why we pray with boldness and with confidence. Because we recognize and we caught a glimpse of who Jesus is, our great high priest. It's number one, and Jesus is. Number two is Jesus understands. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus understands. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? That he understands me. Jesus was faced with evil in a way that none of us have ever been faced with. He was tempted in all points, like as we are. But what? He never gave in. He never budged. Never. In fact, as the Father looked down from heaven and he saw his Son and he looked upon his Son and his thoughts and his actions and his words, he said, "Look, this is my beloved Son and I am well pleased with him." Your high priest this morning faced intense, powerful temptations. He was battered by temptations. He was stricken sore with temptations, but he never budged. I have faced temptations and I have given in. You have too. But your high priest this morning, your great high priest, he's never given in to temptation. He has always been faithful under temptation. He has always been well-pleasing to his Father. That's not me. And so this morning, if you're facing something hard in your life, if you're facing darkness in your life, if you feel hopeless this morning, if that temptation seems overwhelming, cry out to your high priest, Jesus, because he understands. That's why we pray, isn't it? Because he understands. He knows. He does. That's what the scripture says. So we have Jesus is, and Jesus understands. Number three is Jesus forgives. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Have you found mercy? Have you obtained mercy? I'd like to tell you a story. It's a dream that a man had. It's not a true story, but it really helps us think spiritually correct. And so spiritualize this as we go through this dream and listen carefully. There's a man who was out in his field working, and a terrible storm arose. And the winds began to blow, the rain began to fall, the lightning was flashing and the thunder was crashing, and he was wondering where he should go to find some shelter. He became desperate for a place to run for shelter, and he saw a house over there, and he ran to it. It had a light in the window, and he got to it, and on the door was written, holiness. But he wasn't holy. He wasn't allowed in. The storm was growing in intensity, and the rain was coming faster, and the lightning was striking. And he wondered, where shall he go? And he saw another house, and he ran to that house, and on the door was written, truth. But he hadn't always told the truth. He had not always believed the truth. He wasn't allowed in. What do you do when you're shut out? Well, he looked for another place, and he saw another place, and he ran to that place, but on that door was written, justice. He had not always been just. He had not always dealt fairly in his life. He wasn't allowed in. What do you do when there's a storm raging, and you can't find shelter? You're locked out. You can't get in. There's no place to go. You keep looking. Where is there a door that's open? And he saw another place, and he ran to that place. And on that door was written, mercy. And the door was open. It was on street level. There were no steps to walk up, but he ran right through the door. And he was welcomed. They put dry clothes on him. He sat down to a meal. They told him, welcome home. If I need to be holy this morning to get into the presence of God, I will never get there. If I need to be truth this morning, I won't be able to get into the presence of God. If I need to be just this morning, I won't be able to have access into God. We need mercy. And there's a door that's open. It's not just a gate that stands ajar. That song that we sing probably isn't correct, but that door is wide open this morning. The door of mercy is open. You don't have to improve yourself to enter in through this door. You don't have to do anything to enter this door. You don't have to climb any steps. You just go in because you have a Savior who's in there, who is holy, who is truth, and who is just. And he's died for you. He paid the price for you. He's alive. He will welcome you as you are. Come. Come as you are. That's mercy this morning. You and I need mercy. If we don't have mercy, we're not getting into God's presence. We're not accessing God. We can't. We need mercy. Yes, we need to obtain mercy. We'll be shut out. We'll be shut out. All other means, all other doors can only enter through the door of mercy. So this morning, this is how we find mercy. We have to become desperate. And sometimes the storms have to be raging pretty loud and pretty terrible. And it may be pretty dark. And we may be pretty not sure what to do. But that's when we start really seeking for mercy. We need mercy. Where is the door that has mercy? I want to enter in through that door. Mercy. Find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And maybe you wonder this morning, what's the difference between mercy and grace? I'd like to tell you another story. This one's true. Happened back in the early 1900s over in London. Some village boys were together one afternoon. As they were walking around town, they saw a man, his house, greenhouse attached to his house. It was made out of glass. And as boys do sometimes, they make unwise decisions. And he got some stones, and they threw some stones at that greenhouse, and they broke some glass in the greenhouse. Well, they got caught. The owner caught them. His name was Robert Hudson Pope. And he knew these boys. He knew their names. He knew where they lived, their parents. And he said, "Boys, I want you to come back to my house tomorrow evening at a certain time. You come back." He said, "I know where you live. I know your parents. I know you. You come back or I'll come looking for you." Well, those boys showed up that next day. They were a little ashamed, a little embarrassed, had their hands in their pockets, but he welcomed them in. He said, "Sit down, boys." He said, "I did some calculations, and the cost of the damages that I'm going to have to spend to replace that glass comes out to be like $700. That's how much you should pay me. But you won't have to pay it. I'll pay it for you." That's mercy. They did not get what they deserved. They deserved to pay that. They deserved a punishment. But mercy, when we receive mercy, we don't get what we deserve. So, "Boys, come with me." And they followed him into his dining room. And there was a table, and it was laid full of just all sorts of things that boys love to eat. He said, "Sit down, boys, and have the feast of your life." And they sat down and had a wonderful meal and a wonderful evening with Robert Hudson Pope. That's grace. Grace is when someone gives you what you don't deserve. These boys didn't deserve this, but they got it. That's grace. Grace. Do you know what it's like to receive mercy? And do you know what it's like to receive grace? Have you come into your Father's house and you found mercy? We should all be punished. We found mercy. And not only did we find mercy, but we've also experienced grace. There's a table that's been spread. Come and eat. Come and dine. The Master is calling. Not only do we experience mercy, but we have experienced grace, and we continue to experience grace day after day after day from our Heavenly Father. And so, Jesus understands, and Jesus forgives, and number four is Jesus helps. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What do you need help with? What is on your heart? What's on your mind? What is it that you think about, that you worry about, that you carry with you? What is it? What do you need help with? You'll find grace to help. Do you need help to pray? He'll help you. What is it that you really need? What is it that you really need? Pray. What's on your heart? Pray what's on your mind. Pray. Reach out to your great high priest because you'll find help. Or do we go to other places for our help first? Where do we go for our help? There's a lot of places we can find help today. But if we want help that's going to heal our minds and our souls and our hearts, we're going to have to go to our great high priest to find the help that we need. I need help. You all need help. And so this morning, our great high priest, Jesus is. Jesus understands. Jesus forgives. And Jesus helps. Have you caught glimpses of who Jesus, your great high priest, who he is? How he feels for you? How he'll forgive you, and how he'll give grace to you and wherever you're at in life. As you catch glimpses of that, come boldly to the throne of grace. Will you this week? Why this week? Will this group of people here this week, will we be more than ever praying? Because we've caught a glimpse of our great high priest who has passed into the heavens. And so this morning, your great high priest, Jesus. First point, Jesus is. Jesus understands. Jesus forgives. Jesus helps. Keep them in your mind this week. Rivet them in your mind. Read these verses. Reach out to your great high priest, because he alone will help you when all others fail. Let's kneel for